Hey, I'm Brody Brazil, and welcome to Teal Town After Dark.
Thanks so much, Brody. The Sharks gave up 6 goals, or what I was saying, touchdown, for their 4th straight game. And yet we're still smiling. Sharks win! Holy crap! 7-6 over the Washington Capitals. I am alongside Mr. Alex Martin. Name Alex. Good evening, sir.
Touchdowns are better than field goals, as we found out today.
And we'll dive deep into this crazy game as it sets us up for the All-Star Weekend in Teal Town, USA. Welcome to this edition of Teal Town After Dark. I'm your host, Eric Kura. If you want to be a part of the show, you know what to do. Multiple ways to interact with us. Join the Chompversation. Because AJ's not here, I can get away with it. Chat with us and fellow Sharks fans on the YouTube chat, on the page, or the app. At us on Teal Town USA. Of course, join us on the Soch. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Make it happen. We thank over the 1,140 subscribers to the channel already. We appreciate you. If you're new here, join us in the chat. We're going to have a good time tonight, I think, for sure. So hello, everyone in the chat. Dave B. Pilot, we may have given up a touchdown, but we blocked the extra point.
Well played.
Very well played, Dave. Thank you very much.
At least there's no pass interference on that one.
Oh, no kidding, right? Well, let's get into this game. And the Sharks got into it really quick. I think they were still upset at their effort from last night in Florida. But 12 seconds in, Joe Pavelski on just the tip from Meyer and Burns. He gets his 27th of the season. That is not a franchise record to a quickest goal to start a game in team history. Yeah. But 1-0 San Jose.
His signature goal, but it looked extremely easy. So I don't know if Holpe was falling asleep at the wheel or at the net. Which, frankly, that was kind of the case for both goaltenders this game. There was little or no defense, which was kind of odd to see for hockey.
I think Randy said it best on the broadcast tonight. If you like scoring an offense, this is your game. If you like defense and net minding, get out of here. And, you know, he's kind of right. And the Sharks seemed, after that first goal, to really put on the pressure early on against the Capitals. There were a number of chances. I remember even Hurdle dangling through the defense and almost got a goal. And Holpe looked a little shaky early on, too.
Yeah, I mean, that looked like everyone was playing just to get to the All-Star game or All-Star weekend. Carlson wasn't playing. Apparently he's supposed to, there's an option where you can play the 3-versus-3 competition. He can still do that, but I doubt that that's the Sharks want him to do that. But you could kind of tell that defensemen, goaltenders, even some offensive players were kind of just taking this game off in some ways.
Definitely. And it just seems like they're getting all out and crazy on this night. I think you knew that they had to empty the tanks before the All-Star break, and let's be real here, 10 days off, we might as well go for it. So getting on there, 10:28, Tim Heat takes a penalty for hooking. Washington goes on the power play, and who else? Watch that back door, people. Ovechkin scores his first of the game, his 34th of the season, from Backstrom and Oshie. Wasn't that typical one-timer, but, you know, a quick little shot gets it through to tie it up.
Yeah. Honestly, like, it was back and forth in the first period and up until the second period when the Capitals did kind of push themselves kind of forward. But the first period was really back and forth. Up until the final couple of minutes.
Yeah, and that didn't stop the Capitals. No, sir. They They kept pushing about a minute and a half later. Burakovsky gets his sixth from Stevenson and Boyd to make it 2-1. Washington, remember, folks, Washington was in a 5-game losing streak coming into this one. The Sharks, of course, 3, and a paltry 3 it was there as well. Then Oshie would take a penalty pretty much a minute and a half after they made it 2-1. Tripping almost looked like a slew foot a little bit on Timo Meier there, but Timo timely with getting penalties called on the opponent tonight too.
Yes, and also I thought it was kind of a dirty play from I forget what the player's name was. On the Capitals, it was Timo who got tripped up on
the Niskanen or Oshie, because
Oshie.
Yeah. That did look a little more.
It looked like he stuck out his leg a little bit too much, and was trying to go for the puck, I guess, but it kind of looked dirty in slow motion. I'm glad Timo didn't return to the ice in the second period. Was still competing, was still being competitive, but do I think he's going to get suspended for it? Probably not, because, the only person I think that would ever get suspended on the Capitals is Tom Wilson, and that guy will never get to, well, I'll, no.
Don't jinx it. But going onward, the Sharks would not capitalize, pun intended, on there. I don't know. I'm taking that back. The Oshie trip, yes, they did capitalize on it. Hurdle open in the slot from Pavelski and Thornton. His 20th of the season at 14:27. That tied the game at 2-2. Hurdle, off to a great start. Had a great night. Of course, we'll get into most of that. However,
yes,
52 seconds after that, TJ Oshie gets his 15th from Ovechkin and Carlson. No, not Eric. No, not Melker. The other Carlson. He actually spells it a different way, too. Makes it 3-2 Washington. Niskanen would go off for tripping Timo Meier at the end of the period. But that was a crazy first period, man.
I actually did miss the Oshie goal because I thought that was the end of the period. Like, oh, the Sharks, they can hold on to a tied game, 2-2 going into the first period. I don't have to worry about this. Come back, it's 3-2. Like, oh, well, that's that type of game.
Right. And high intensity all night long. First period shots were 15-14 in favor of San Jose. Faceoffs were close to being even. Washington with a slight edge, 52-48. Both teams each had a power play goal in the opening frame. Second period, I don't know what it is about doing stuff in the opening minute, but Evander Kane gets his 20th of the season. Timo Meier and Brent Burns on that one at 52 seconds. This game is tied up at 3-3. What did you think of Kane's play? He's been on a roll lately.
Yeah, he was playing well against Tampa. I didn't get the chance to watch the Panthers game. It seems like that was one of the weaker performances of the season so far.
Yeah.
Consistent performance in January. Even in December, he was pretty good. So he's coming on at the right time. I just hope he's saving some of that for April and May.
And June, of course.
Well, let's not use June.
Okay. Good point. About 2 minutes after that, Kuznetsov didn't do his fancy deke move that's the wrong one. I'm thinking the other one in Tampa. My bad. I'm getting honestly, my obs messed up,
Honestly, they're all starting to blur at this right? Point.
Well, they go so fast and then they can make you look silly. So Kuznetsov from Vrana and Wilson makes it 4-3 Washington. His ninth of the season for Kuznetsov. Yep. 10 seconds after that, Lars Eller takes a puck over glass penalty. You're thinking, all right, here's where they're going to do it again. Yeah, no.
That power play was nothing. kind of stalled the Sharks in the second period a little bit, and then kind of kicked things in high gear for Ovechkin later on.
Yeah, and just wasn't working out too well there. And then Washington gets a goal again at 5:41. Ovechkin, his second of the game, his 35th from Backstrom and Oshie. You know, it's like Ovechkin knew, since he's not going to the game, to the All-Star game this weekend, he's like, well, I want to still put on a show for San Jose fans, because I was a San Jose fan when I was growing up. Yeah, he did that all right.
That's cool. but it seemed like the entire Capitals bench or team fell asleep, I guess, in the second period. I don't know. I can't explain this turnover in the neutral zone that led to Couture's goal. I just can't do it. It's one of the most baffling decisions.
Yeah, and it was just one thing after another, and then Burns trips up Wilson at 12:34, breaks up, you know, I thought it was a good penalty, just because, I thought Wilson was going to go in all alone, and that would have been a big backbreaker, but Jones made the save. There was a penalty coming up there. Yeah. Makes it 6-3. That pretty much is game over, I would think there. However, right after Burns gets out of the penalty box, he joins a 3-on-0. Couture walks in after blocking a shot, shoots and scores, makes it a 5-4 game again. I thought Couture, 19th of the season, right up there.
Yeah, backhander right between the five hole, I believe it was. Really good chance. Capitals didn't have their eye on the clock, and it looked like they shot it past the goaltender, which led to that 3-on-0. You would have thought the bench would have been alerting them to just either shoot it close and give the defense a chance, but that seemed like they were trying to go for the 6-3 lead.
Yeah, and they were going for it, and they just couldn't get it in. And then, of course, Couture with the break, he scores, cuts it into one. That would be where it would end after two periods. The shots there, 28-26 in favor of San Jose. Still, both teams each had a goal on the power play. Faceoffs now in favor of San Jose, 55-45. I don't know what the heck is going on in the chat, but let's. Well, since we're in the middle of the second period, I'll ask you this from Mike Nevis in the chat: for $1 million, would you take a Shea Weber blast to the place where the sun don't shine, or switch places with Logan Couture and take that puck to the mouth?
Shane Weber can do 107 miles per hour. No, I don't want to mess with Weber at this point. I wouldn't want to mess with Weber if he's 60 years old. He could still blast a puck at 80 miles per hour. I wouldn't want to. At least with taking a puck to your face, you can at least get that stitched up, as Logan Couture has clearly had done many times.
Yeah, definitely. That's not what he said. No, I'm not going to say what person lurking? Oh, it's not a person. Hang on. Oh, well, let's see if I can do this a little bit here. Get out of the way here. Oh, there is a Sharky sighting.
Is that Marlo?
That's Sharky.
It's Sharky?
Yeah, Marlo's trying to get out.
Is Marlo fleeting to Toronto again?
He seems like it. He wants to jump over it, open the door, and get out. So, but I promised some victory puppies, so we're gonna make that happen. So if he starts wimping, you'll have to vamp for a little bit. Where did I get the jersey for the free baby? Oh, I believe it was either eBay or Amazon. So it's definitely a check it out there, but they're having a good time, as would Caps fans early into this third period. Here, we'll give you that shot. How's that, folks?
He's behind you now.
Yep. All right. Third period. Look, something happened to the Sharks under a minute in. This time, unfortunately, it was Kane taking a penalty. He was called for slashing at 53 seconds. Congrats. You've been on a roll, but you've also had 20 penalty minutes in the last couple of games, for sure.
I thought it was a borderline call. Maybe it was more interference than slashing, but it was still a kind of a weak call in my book.
Yeah, I was a little iffy on that. But then, just as that power play for the Caps was expiring, the Capitals got called for what our friend Shalana Goldman calls hella dudes on the frozen pond. Too many men on the ice for Washington. That cost them, but it didn't cost them at all on the power play. However, Ovechkin comes back with his 36th of the season, a hat trick. Yay. From Vrana and Kuznetsov to make it 6-4 Caps. That's Ovechkin's 23rd hat trick of the season. Or not the season. Wow, that would be really good.
That'd be impressive.
No kidding. That's his 23rd hat trick of his NHL career. He's tied 10th with Jari Kurri. But you know what? Give Ovechkin some love here, Al.
I can't remember the last time someone else besides Ovechkin was leading the league in goals.
Yeah, right.
Which, considering he's been in the league for almost 13 years, 14 years.
14.
Yeah. That is up there with one of the greatest feats in league history. And frankly, like, he's up there top 10 all the time at this point, even before he won the Stanley Cup. So I'm curious where things are going to stand between Sid and Crosby, Sidney and Ovechkin. And right now, if you have to look about, yeah, Sidney has 3 Stanley Cups, but I would definitely take Ovechkin's career just in general. If you were just long-term longevity, like, just he's been probably the best left wing all-time forward in the league.
He's been one of those where he's just has the hand-eye coordination. He has the speed, the skill. He can hit, and he's all around like the absolute package.
Early on in his career, he was very much a one offensive, focused. Mm-hmm. But in the last 3 or 4 years, he's really, all phases of his game, he's been top in my book. Now I'm seeing in the chat, I just saw it.
David, hey. Thank you. Well, that'll make up for some of the stuff that you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
For Pasa for hockey. They wanted to get a credit card. Oh, geez. No. And we appreciate the donations. They do go back to help support the site and the show.
Now, Aiden was saying, do you think Hurdle is a top 50 player currently in the league?
Ooh, that's an interesting one.
I don't think you do. I think he's on the fridge, maybe top 60, top 70, but yeah.
He's up there, but I don't think he's top 50 just yet. Although, stay tuned. He's escalating his levels shortly. So at 8:49, Carlson goes to the box, sets up a Sharks power play. Hurdle again bangs it in, his second of the game, his 21st of the season from Pavelski and Couture, makes it a 6-5 game.
It was very much like his first goal, set up with Heed, down low to the post, and Hurdle is right there, open where no one else is around him. Really one of the best things we've seen from the power play of recently. It's been really inconsistent from the power play. Minus a few games, that's been kind of a non-factor. But 2 goals, tonight helps keep it a 6-6 game.
Yeah, it helps to keep the Sharks in the game. Almost called it a teaser goal alert there because, I mean, we've seen this happen before. Sharks pull within one and then just nothing happens. And then we get down to the nitty gritty. We're down with like a minute and a half. Jones gets pulled. Ovechkin had a chance at a fourth goal of the game. That was blocked by Brent Burns, and it was a huge block because time was running down. I didn't even think they were going to get a shot on goal at the end. And then Pavelski just, you know, gets it over to Evander Kane with like literally, I think, like 0.5 seconds left on the clock. I think they actually technically called it 1 second, right, Marlo?
Yes. It looked like it was one, but yeah. But yeah, up until that point, like all the shots were kind of, you know, gimmies for Ovechkin to block and put his knees down. It was really ineffective shot making, nothing to the net. And luckily Pavelski, I don't know if he had like, if he looked at the clock or not, but it was 3 seconds he shot it, and luckily things were working out for the Sharks today. If you're a goaltender, I really feel bad for your goals against average, but
no kidding.
I'm not saying as someone who has Martin Jones on fantasy, but
like me. Yeah.
But Kane, 2 goals tonight. This is his third game in 5 games where he's had 2 goals each. So it's not bad.
Very impressive indeed coming on here. I mean, so Kane gets 2 goals. He eclipses the 20-goal mark. Hurdle had 2 goals going into overtime. I need to pull up the stats if they're updated, but I believe the Sharks now have 320 goal scorers, and I think Timo Meier's like at 19. So
yes,
it's getting close to having 420 goal scorers, and you're only 50 games in. So the Sharks are doing some scoring, but they've been also letting in a lot. The 6 goals that the Sharks did allow was the fourth time in a row that the Sharks scored 6. That hasn't been done since 1995 by the then named Mighty Ducks of Anaheim.
We're not talking about the movie team.
No. We're not talking District 5 taking on the Hawks. That's no bueno.
Those are the Ducks I only talk about.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Ducks fly together, and we'll get to part of that in just a jiffy. But overtime, my goodness. I thought the Caps were.
They should have won this game.
It was just a tire fire. That opening line with Kane, Pavelski, and Burns. My goodness,
what a horrible 3-3. Like we've known for a long time that the Sharks can't handle speed, but 3-3 is the worst thing that could ever happen if the Sharks have to deal with any situation like that. You'd figure Burns and hopefully Carlson would hopefully solve that issue, but time and time again, 3-3 is never something that either they just don't know how to defend or don't know how to strategize against it. But man, there were so many times when the Capitals should have scored.
Definitely. I mean, there were so many chances. There were so many turnovers. Kudos to Jones. I know you give up 6 goals. You shouldn't be getting kudos. But Jones helped make some saves at the very end there to keep them in the game. Otherwise, this thing was over before it even began. And then sets up the 3-on-2? Couture gets it over to Hurdle. Hurdle sneaks it past Holtby. He completes. Yes. Toma. Oh my gosh. Of course, I have this set up. Let's try this again.
Don't break your mic setup.
right, totally. So Hurdle, you know, gets the puck to Couture. He shoots and scores. It's a hat trick. Oh. I'm going nuts. The puppies are going crazy, right, Marley? You're going crazy. Sharky, your thoughts? Yeah, it's my thoughts. So the Sharks win 7-6. My goodness.
Once again, always go for the touchdown. Never ever go for field goals.
I like never give up. 7-6-4-3, as Gene Hackman said in The Replacements, heart, miles and miles of heart. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, it was just, I mean, my gosh.
I would say at no point in the third period or even the overtime did I ever think the Sharks were going to come back. Was I hopeful? Yes, but
especially after that first minute.
yes. But at, you know, away from, you know, on a back to back where this road trip has been disastrous, gave you 6 goals each. Yeah, 24 goals in the last 4 games is never a good option. At least they can put a smiley face on a really bad road trip, but and they obviously don't have to come away with a 4 game losing streak to close out the first half of the season, or it's kind of the first half.
It's technically the first half, but it's also I think it's their 50th game of the season, so it definitely it changed for that matter. But a crazy night. You're glad you got the win. You're not happy about you know, defensively, because now I mentioned this on Twitter Mission with Brody and Curtis. Granted, you're missing Erik Karlsson. You're missing Marc-Edouard Vlasic. Is it the defense or is it goaltending? Because I don't know if it's either or, to be honest.
You know, I think the defense of goaltending is not the issue. I mean, when Karlsson comes back, you have Vlasic, Braun, you have Burns, and potentially Ryan or whoever you Shimmick. Put with Shimmick. That'd be like, if you don't think Shimmick is good enough with Burns, that's when you make a trade. But before this 3-game losing streak, the Sharks won 6 in a row.
Or was it 5 in a row? 7 in a row.
Yeah. So honestly, like, you don't mess with the chemistry at all. And I don't think bringing someone like Wade Simmons or someone who is potentially tanking, I don't think the Sharks are in the rental business at the moment.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think you kind of go with what you have right now. And granted, it's a month before the trade deadline, so you're going to have plenty of time to dissect your team to see what you need. There's a lot of people calling for trading Dell to have a backup check just in case. There's people saying trade Jones. Well, Jones has a modified no trade.
Yeah,
you have a list of 3 people to you know, 3 teams that you can go to. I can't see that happening either.
I mean, when I look at the third and fourth lines, Radil -2 today, and like, Ovechkin's last goal was mostly because Radil was in the wrong spot. Karlsson, like, milk with Karlsson. We got to make sure the right Karlsson we're trading away here, not the Erik Karlsson. But
right,
maybe Radil and Karlsson are the trade pieces you trade away, and you bring someone up from Barracuda. But then again, you're finding chemistry with only what, 30 games left into the season. That's not a good situation.
Yeah, and that's the catch, is that it's, you don't want to change things up late. I mean, look how long it took for the Sharks and Karlsson to kind of get their gel and their chemistry going into the season.
Like Joe Thorin, he's -2, but I don't see them doing anything crazy and trading him, but he's going to be a third liner. I've seen him more on the third line the past couple of weeks.
Yep.
So you're not going to bring anyone that's fast for Joe Thornton, because then you're just wasting their talent, which we saw with Hotbod.
Yeah.
So honestly, the only three people I see being traded are potentially LeBanc, Bradil, and Carlson, but those are three people that are so replaceable that you might as well not do anything for.
Yeah. And Felix asking about, you know, Wayne Simmons right now. Depending, it would be depending on what they have to give up for it. That's the curiosity I have in that sense.
What's that site called? Is it called Cap Issues?
Cap Friendly.
Cap Friendly.
You know, so current cap space, they have just a skosh under $2 million to what they have. So something else would have to go, would have to go for sure on there. As I'm trying to pull up the Flyers, who do have $20 million in cap space right now.
So Wayne Simmons has 1 year left on his contract, and then he goes on UFA.
Yeah, so he's a UFA at the end of the year. He does have a modified no trade clause. He can submit a 12-team no trade list. So, you know, he can kind of dictate where he wants to go, but not necessarily. He's 30 years old. He has a $3.975 million contract. So you're going to need to move somebody. Might not take too much, but also remember the Sharks don't have too many draft picks, too many early draft picks at the moment, too.
Also, so. Yeah. Also, the cap space for the Sharks is close to 800,000, and Wayne Simmons' contract is 3.9 million. So I don't know who you trade away, like, to make the cap work. Does Philadelphia take half of his contract back? Which doesn't seem like they would ever want to do that.
Well, considering it is a rental and they do have a plenty of space, if they're able to, the Sharks would have to sweeten that spot up a bit too. But again, the Sharks don't have, I mean, the Sharks are pretty much all in here. I mean, they have no first round pick. They have the Florida's second and their own third, no fourth. So they really don't have much for this year to trade. The 2020 is up in the air, depending on the on Carlson and Kane trades that they have made before. And so they realistically can't really move their draft picks around. You know, so they can't levy their draft picks. It's going to have to come from either the Sharks or Barracuda roster or a prospect.
We can always trade for Mike Hoffman again and see what happens.
Oh, yeah, that I'm sure will work so well. Yeah. looking at VGK coverage, good evening to you from Vegas. I would be worried about getting a player that can help us keep the puck out of our own net than I would be getting Simmons. Y'all can get rid of any more draft picks. You know, yeah, you can't afford that. Why not get Fair back from four paws up for hockey?
Because he's not fair anymore.
Ew. Jeez, you didn't have me. I knew I should have the rim shot sounder set up for you. Oh, well. Anywho, but yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. I mean, and that's the thing, you know, and people are saying, you know, Flyers have asked for, according to Mike Nevis, young NHL player, 2019-20 first rounder or second, and a middle tier prospect, and that's going to be a lot. So, Jessica, the 2021 will be the expansion year for Seattle.
They pushed that back. You know, I'm perfectly fine if the Sharks want to make this their all-in year and then make it next year kind of just the rebuild, or I don't know. You can't really rebuild if you have 8 years, you know, with Jones, Burns, Vlasic, and then what are you going to do with Carlson? I guess you're going to have to give him, what, $9 million? Oh, God, there's a lot of things
if that. Yeah, and that's... And getting the contracts is a whole different thing. So let's just wait on that until we get closer and closer to the trade deadline, because it'll be interesting to see what goes on, and interesting to see what really the Sharks need. And you can make a case for forward defense, and some have even said goaltender. That's the catch, is that if you can't identify what you really need, you shouldn't do it right away, because you don't want to make that, you know, that quick reaction move.
Yeah, I don't think the retail market or the rental market is that great this year. And so if there's any indication that the Sharks are going to re-sign Carlson, they're not going to take on any contract, because frankly, if you can get Carlson at $9 million, maybe a $9.5 million, that's pretty good. I don't think the Sharks ever sign a, you know, Carlson and pull a Doughty deal. That's looking like that's crippling the Kings at the moment,
which is, you know, crazy and you know,
Jones is still good. I believe in Martin Jones. Let's put it that way.
I do too. Although, not gonna lie, I think I saw Chris say if Jones lets in one or two more, he was gonna break out in the Emmy memes. So
hey,
I'm don't shoot the messenger.
Hey, but I'm just saying, both of one cups.
Oh yes, Jones did it as a backup to Quick in 2014, and.
I was literally searching for anything at that point.
No, I got you on that one.
Yeah.
All right. So let's recap. Let's give you the numbers on the night as I put on a proper hat now, as we kind of finish up the halfway point, quote unquote, halfway point of the Shark season here. The shots 43-39 in favor of San Jose. Both teams would be successful in the power play. 2 for 6 for the Sharks, 1 for 3 for the Capitals. Although, Alex, like you said, some of the power plays seem more like they were shorthanded than anything else.
Yeah, that's my dog. It's bark at my neighbors. you know, I think it was honestly just a look. We got the All-Star game in almost a week now, kind of. That's what I want to say it was, but you know, Radil -2, third and fourth lines are practically -2. Pavelski, Timo are +4, but it just seems like third and fourth lines are definitely going to be a little bit of a weakness if we're going up against teams like Carolina, even Tampa Bay, who can definitely skate. That's the issue right now.
Indeed. I mean, you can give kudos to Pavelski, a goal and 3 assists for 4-point night. Couture, a goal and 2 assists. Timo with 2 assists. Hurdle, the hat trick and an assist for 4-point night. Oh, by the way, Ovechkin had a hat trick and an assist as well. TJ Oshie with a 3-point night. I mean, it was crazy on there. Holtby stopped 36 of 43 tonight for an .837 save percentage. Yeesh. Which is slightly worse than Jones's .846, as he stopped 33 of 39 on the night. Burns had some rough turnovers. That penalty one that he had on Tom Wilson, to say the least. You know, we also had he saved the empty net goal. Again, that's massive. When it comes down to this game, for sure, on this night. I mean,
yeah, this game looked like it was over well after that burn save. But did you think when we got to the 22nd mark, the Sharks were going to win?
No, I didn't even think they were going to tie it, let alone get a shot on goal to try to tie it.
Yeah. I think this is one of those games. Maybe this is one of those weekends where you just kind of throw away the goaltender stats and just look at how the team's skating. And it doesn't look like the Sharks or PDB has lost the locker room at all compared to Ottawa. That road trip, Sharks are still in a good spot. I'm not really going to worry too much about how things are looking 50 games in. But I will be looking closer at Jones when we come back to the All-Star game.
Right. So, Randall Hahn, good to see you, bud. Trey Vlasic to Montreal for depth and prospects. I don't know. That would be interesting. It might be nice to go home for Vlasic too. So, and but he does go on to say, you know, clear the cap space for,
you know, for EK.
Yeah, for EK65.
I think he's made it known that he wants to go back to Ottawa, right? Or he wants to be in Canada.
Who? Vlasic? If anything, it would be French. French or, Canada.
I mean, Carlson.
EK? No, I know there was some rampant speculation about him talking to Stamkos when the Lightning were in town. But Vlasic's got a full no move. So that'll be interesting to see. I'm not sure on that per se. So with that, is it time?
Is it time for the reach around?
Oh, God.
Got one job, Eric.
It's the AOL internet.
I have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around.
It's wrap around, for crying out loud. Jeez. All right, let's get you caught up on the action in the NHL tonight, as this is the second to last day before the All-Star break. So let's get things moving here. Currently in progress, Chicago 2, Islanders 2, Barzal, Barzal with his 14th of the season. And Taves with his 22nd. This game is tied 2-2. Midway through the third period in Calgary. They are through two periods there. Calgary's up 2-1. My God, the Flames are on a roll. In Edmonton, the Red Wings are up 2-0 on the Oilers. Larkin, Glendening, your goals there for the Red Wings. And the final here, the Desert Dogs. Oh, wait, sorry. Win 3-2 over the Ottawa Senators. Bobby Ryan and Ryan Zingle, also rumored to be a Shark in the near future, gets his 20th. Hinostroza gets two goals on the night for the Desert Dogs. Oh. And that is your wraparound for this evening. Not too many games again for Tuesday. There's a handful of games, including Vancouver, taking on the Carolina Hurricanes as the last game before the All-Star break.
Yep, so, we almost did it. We almost put an entire show with that same Vancouver.
Scares. All right. So you got the standings up there? Yes, you do. Let me put you on focus there. So right now, as we see it at this moment, Calgary at 69. Hilarious. Yes. Sharks have 52 games played, and they're at 65 points. Vegas at 62. They play tomorrow. Go back up to the Central if you don't mind. There we go. Winnipeg at 64. Nashville at 62. Minnesota at 53. Those are your leaders in the Central. And then in the wild card, you are got a tight race with Colorado and Dallas. They're both at 52 points. Colorado has two less. Rose, Vancouver right there at with them, 52 points. The Ducks trying to stay alive. They're at 51. The Desert Dogs. Wait, one more. There we go. At 50. So it's starting to become a tight race for the wild card, Alex.
I mean, I think it was already kind of a tight race. I think it was kind of funny that Calgary, San Jose, Vegas all went on winning streaks when Vancouver, Anaheim, even Arizona all went on losing streaks. So I kind of created this false sense of separation. But it's always been kind of tight with a wild card. I'm interested to see, like, when we start to get towards the end of the season, do you think Arizona is going to have more points than Anaheim or even Vancouver? We've all kind of predicted or thought that the end of Anaheim, you know, they're on this really good winning streak, or, you know, they've done everything they could with the depth that they have, but they just simply have lost too many people to injuries. Gibson, Getzlaff, Perry, God, they've just lost so many people, and now it's starting to finally hit at them.
Rob Iman with a fact or fiction, Oilers trade Ryan Nugent-Hopkins before the deadline. They need forwards unless they get something ridiculous in return.
No, there's no way. And plus, I don't think there's enough cap space for them to even make a trade that's up to his ability.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting to see what the Oilers do, no matter what the deadline. But and of course, Connor McDavid, you know, he's not going anywhere, I don't think. So they need to get their act together. But you know where Connor McDavid is going, Alex?
To San Jose?
Yes, he is. No, sorry, that's not for a bunch of first-round picks and a bag of pucks to play for the Sharks. No, he'll be at the NHL All-Star Game, which Felix in the chat has been asking where I got the patch. It was at patchcollection.com. They also have playing on eBay. I would think they're going to have some at the NHL. Excuse me. My Mexican dinner decided to come back up on me. They'll have it at the NHL Fanfare along with this hat. And so let's bring out the big old list of stuff that's going to be happening starting Thursday. I mean, there was already some that you saw earlier tonight. The NHL Fanfare. Oh, boy. And part of the Angry AJ Tree is back here. Angry AJ Tree, how are you?
Hey now.
All right. What did you think of this game? Ridiculous, but they won at least. Yes. All right. Well, thank you very much, Angry AJ Tree. Appreciate it so much. Make sure, Marlo, make sure you don't pee on the Angry AJ Tree. So, moving onward. So the All-Star schedule. Stop it. So Thursday night from 5 to 10, it's the NHL Fanfare at the McHenry Convention Center. You're going to have a ton of stuff there. You got the Stanley Cup. You're going to have player autographs, a bunch of good stuff. I think the NHL Network will begin their live coverage from there. Also, you have Media Day. And speaking of media, the NHL gave a media pass to AJ Strong. Let's be real here. What are they thinking? So we'll see AJ in his best behavior at the All-Star weekend this weekend.
You know what you're asking for, right?
No, he promised to be on his best behavior, and I appreciate him, and he's a wonderful guy, and I know he'll be good. So we'll do that. If not, well, I hope my tickets still scan for the All-Star game. And the skills competition that Friday. The fanfare will be open from 5 to 10 on Friday night at 6 p.m. on NBCSN is the skills competition. That will be all the fun events. You see the fastest skater, accuracy shooting, all kinds of new events as well. So be on the lookout for that. That's on NBCSN Friday night at 6 p.m. And then after the skills competition, we will somehow form a Teal Town All-Star After Dark. We'll do a recap of the skills competition, everything that's going on around San Jose this weekend. And then Saturday, on Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., that's a typo there, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Poorhouse Bistro, just kitty corner from the Shark Tank, there will be a San Jose Game Worn Expo. For those who are crazy about the jerseys and the game worn jerseys, this one is for you. So go check that out. It's put on by our good friend of the show, Mitch Amaya, who still has the Ray Whitney game worn jersey that I've been yearning for. So definitely be on the lookout there. Of course, the fanfare will go from 10 to 5 on Saturday. And then, of course, the 64th NHL All-Star Game will be at the Shark Tank. That's at 5 p.m. on your local NBC station. So that could be KNTV Channel 11, otherwise known as NBC Bay Area, where they investigate whether or not the Sharks can actually get three All-Stars, but we'll find out whether or not they will have three All-Stars. But I digress. So NBC Bay Area in the Bay Area, KCRA in Sacramento. We'll do another All-Star After Dark after that. And then, of course, one more day for the fanfare at the Convention Center on Sunday. Now, Alex, do you work in downtown?
Yeah, I'm at the KNTV station at NBC. So right, that's about 10 blocks away from the station.
So hopefully traffic won't be too bad for you, especially on Friday night.
It won't be too bad. Yeah, I don't want to say too much about it, but frankly, yeah. But yeah. So in terms of the Sharks, I'm sure it'll get some local news attention, but I'm sure we'll cover it.
I would hope so. And it'd be great to see it. Yeah. Randall said, you got me all up with the reach around there, fellas. You know, that's what happens when you have it. DW can now trade for Nicholas Jarlson.
Great job on that graphic, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It was crazy and trying to fit everything in there, but we got that's it all squeezed. So NBC Bay Area, if you're watching, if you need somebody to help with graphics, just saying. let's see. Who am I seeing at the skills competition in the All-Star game? You'll see me there. I will be there. I'll be in San Jose for a majority of the weekend. Crazy thinking that I should have gotten a hotel room. Oh well, but to answer Marty's question, yes, the cup will be at Fanfare all weekend. Chris kind of echoing what he said to us privately years ago when we used to gripe about KMBR 95.7 ignoring the Sharks. We decided to build our own Sharks coverage. I'm not going to repeat the other stuff that he put in there, but it's kind of a testament. You know, 2015, I got to cover the stadium series, and it was a blast. I was the first non-NHL personnel person to step on the ice at Levi's. So yeah. Blame me, I guess, for that loss if you want to. But that was such an incredible experience, and the see 70,000 plus Sharks fans at Levi's was pretty awesome despite the score. But it should be a fun weekend. Are you planning to go to any of the events, Alex?
No. I haven't really been a part of any of the meetings regarding the All-Star game, but plenty of the people at NBC Bay Area love talking Sharks, love hockey in general. The reason why hockey doesn't really get covered a lot is that it doesn't really pay the bills. And frankly, the reasons why are kind of understandable the more you get behind the scenes. Football, basketball, especially the Warriors in this area, it's kind of understandable the way things kind of get shifted. So,
yeah.
But this is the do your own thing entrepreneur area. And I'm totally for you guys.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And I you're a part of this too, but we appreciate the support that everyone has given us throughout the years. And it's going to be fun. We wanted to make sure this thing got coverage like crazy. And Randall said, do they love talking hockey just on TV? And that's the sucky part, but there's a reason behind that, and that's what they have to do, and so be it.
There's a quote in the Wire where if you follow the money, you don't know where it leads. It's the same as sports media.
Yeah.
Just follow the money.
Give that man his money. So,
yeah, there's your money. Sports is everything talk. Let's get back to Sharks.
Let's get back to Sharks. And so in case you missed anything or you want to watch this again, you know, you can do is check us out on Teal Town USA.
.com.
or your favorite podcatcher, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and of course, smash that subscribe button. Also, ring that bell that's also down there. That'll get you notified whenever we put stuff up. As we're speaking right now, I believe AJ Rocket and Hockey Jerk are recording a new edition of The Pucknologist, so be on the lookout for that this week. We also are actually, AJ put up a guide to stuff around downtown San Jose. Be on the lookout for that. That's probably something you would use for visitors coming down to Teal Town USA for the All-Star game. Definitely be on the lookout for that. We'll get that graphic up for the activities going on. There's plenty of others. They refurbished a roller rink out at Roosevelt Park in San Jose. So you're going to see a lot more of that coming up as well. So be on the lookout, and definitely be on the lookout for our Twitter and our Instagram. We'll be all over this place. Myself, AJ, and I think Rocket's also coming out this weekend. So we'll be definitely doing it for the gram, as Sonia said on the Twitter mission tonight. So,
and soon the return of Rocket. So, yeah.
Yeah, we're really excited to have Rocket back on the West Coast. That'll be quite interesting and a lot of fun. Definitely as we get ready to hit the stretch run for the playoffs. 52 games in. We have 30 games left, and what a crazy ride that'll be to get us to the postseason. But for now, Mr. Martinet, I appreciate you joining on as always. Your final thoughts and where the people can find you.
Final thoughts. Well, I've already kind of said it. Sharks, this is kind of a game where you kind of forget about the goals against average and just look at if the team's still skating with the Caps. And they did, 60 minutes and plus. So I thought this was a good game for on the offensive side. But coming first game All-Star game, Jones is going to get a tighter look at, because that's when you start looking if there's another goaltender or potentially defenseman that you can get. But Jones is going to get, it's going to be judgment time on Jones pretty soon. But you can find me on Twitter at Al Martinet. I'm free to talk hockey, free to talk sports, free to talk anything there. So yeah.
Definitely. And Al, thank you so much for joining me on there. For me, 52 games in, 30 to go. It's going to be an interesting next 2 months. The Sharks' next game isn't until February 2nd, when the Sharks take on the Desert Dogs. That'll be back at the Shark Tank. It'll also be part of a back to a doubleheader. The Barracuda also play that day, and I believe that's your Kentucky Thoroughblades night, or day for that matter. So make sure you check out sjbarracuda.com for all that info. But we will be, our next After Dark will be following the skills competition and then the All-Star game, and then of course we'll be back with you on February 2nd as the Sharks take on the Coyotes at the Shark Tank. So be on the lookout for that, but we'll have plenty of other stuff as well to show and have fun with for the All-Star weekend. So be on the lookout for all of us on the social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We'll be having a great time. And until then, I am PuckGuy14 on the Twitter and the Instagram. We will see you during All-Star weekend. I will have the PuckGuy jersey on. By all means, come up, say hi. I don't bite. You know, you could ask any of these guys. I don't bite at all, even though I'm a Sharks fan. So until then, keep it real. Keep it teal. Keep it real teal. Have a great All-Star break. We'll see you out at the fanfare and the game and the skills competition in downtown San Jose. And we'll see you February 2nd when we do Teal Town After Dark after Sharks and Coyotes. Have a great night, everyone. We'll see you then.